morning we do come as a celebration, as any all the first days of the week. We come together today to celebrate that Jesus rose from the grave this day, on the first day of the week. Also, the first Sunday of the month, we gather together to have our fellowship dinner. And this time, once a year, we gather together to celebrate with our graduating seniors. And we do have five today, so that is a very special day for us. We've been studying the idea of being committed to Christ. And it's in particular, thinking about, do we love the Lord? Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will be in you and you will be in me. And we will have that relationship with our Lord. Today we're going to conclude the idea of being committed to the Lord with the idea of, can the Lord use me? What place do we have in the Lord's kingdom? If you've got a Bible, look over to chapter 9 of Matthew. And we're going to begin looking at the way that Jesus looked at the world. Then we're going to look at a little bit of how so often we look at the world and how different those two can be. But in chapter 9 of Matthew, beginning in verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now he starts this, what Jesus went through, and that the verb that went through is a continuing action verb. Jesus continually went through doing God's will, looking out to all the around him and seeing the multitudes. He saw the world around him, and yet it says compassion for all of those. How do we see the world around us? Do we look out and see the needs of those around us? We looked last week that when we're baptized into Christ, we become part of Christ, and in that respect, we become part of each other. And so we should be looking around at the needs of each other and the needs of not just within our own family here, but within the world around us and seeing the needs that are there. And how do we minister to those needs? Jesus always saw that. And he had that compassion. As he said, the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus came to serve. And as his disciples, as his followers, we need to be servants and look at the world around us as, how can I serve around me today? Look over to Luke chapter 12 that we use for our scripture reading, and we see a different attitude, one much more like what we see in the world around us today. Look at chapter 12 of Luke, and beginning again in verse 13. Someone in this crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me judge or arbitrator between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." So often we get tied up there. We do see and we think about, what kind of house do I have? What kind of car do I drive? How much money have I accumulated? Or what kind of position, how much power do I have? Or how much honor has been given to me? All the things of the world. And Jesus says, your life doesn't consist of that. That is not who you are. Listen on down as he gives a parable. In verse 16, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store up my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. And that's what we're looking at today, is being rich towards God, serving others, instead of having everything for ourselves, as the rich man does. How do you see yourself in the kingdom of God? What place do you see that you fulfill? We looked at a few weeks back that each one of us have a place in God's kingdom. We're all part of the body of Christ. Do you think about fulfilling your role in that body? Do you think about what you can do for others instead of just always looking at things of what is it in it for me, or how much do I need for myself, or how do I meet my needs? That's where the rich man was. Instead of being like Christ and having compassion for the world around us. Look back to chapter 10 of Matthew. If we continue on from our reading that we began in chapter 9. In chapter 10 and verse 1, Jesus, called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease. These were the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These were the 12 apostles. And I want you to, if you listen down and listen to these men and look at them, what made them special? Actually, if you take a look at them, and we will in just a minute, they were just ordinary guys like you and I. There was nothing special about these men. They were just ordinary people. But they had a special role. You think about Jesus. He came to this earth to establish his kingdom here, his church, his people. But you realize Jesus went back to heaven before the church was established. He left it in the hands of these 12 men. These guys, just ordinary guys, nothing particularly that you would call special about them. Most of them were very middle class. They were fishermen. They were workers, a tax collector. They were just people like us. But Jesus left the very kingdom into their hands, just as he has left his kingdom now in our hands. We make up that kingdom, and we see that the Lord's work is done. If you look over to Isaiah, Isaiah was a prophet, lived roughly 700 years before Jesus. And if you look over to Isaiah, listen to what he says at the beginning of his ministry in Isaiah chapter 6. To turn over to that in chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. Then I heard the voice, the Lord saying, "Whom shall we send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." That was Isaiah. "Send me, Lord. I'm willing to go for you." Then the Lord goes on to tell Isaiah, "Isaiah, I will send you, but it's not going to be easy. They're not going to listen to what you have to say. In fact, their hearts are going to be calloused, and they're not going to like what your message that you say to them." We believe Isaiah ended up a martyr's death, as we read about in Hebrews 11. You think about the other apostles, and we look before at Peter. When Peter started his ministry, Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Peter, you're going to bring me glory, but your death is going to bring me glory because you're going to die a martyr's death." We looked at Paul when he started his ministry and how much he would have to suffer. Look over to Hebrews 11. We know, and probably if you've heard about Moses, how his parents put him in a little basket or a little ark, and how Pharaoh's daughter brought him out of the water and took him to be her own son. But listen to what is said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking forward ahead to his reward." Now, he would suffer for the choices he made. But he made those choices because he knew of the final reward that he would receive. What we're looking at today is two choices we can make. We can look at the world like Jesus did, have compassion and love, and fill our lives with service to others. Or we can look at, what can I get for myself? As Moses, he could have been a prince of Egypt. He could have had the glories and the greatest wealth of one of the greatest nations of his day. But he chose not to, because he knew that those things would pass away. Those things would not last very long. He said the pleasures of sin for a season, because they would not last. And instead, he chose that which would last, the rewards that would be eternal. Look over to Timothy chapter 2. And you see that some of the last words of Paul in chapter 2 of Timothy, he's close to the end of his life. And listen to what he says. Chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Actually, let me go. 4-6. For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. What reward do we seek? Do we seek that which is right now? Or do we look ahead for the reward, our heavenly reward, that will last through all eternity? Think about the men that Jesus placed his kingdom in. If you think about Simon Peter, we looked at him a few weeks back, and you think about all the great successes that Simon had. He was with Jesus when he was transfigured on the great mountain. He was one that Jesus took to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray with. He stood up before thousands on that very first day of Pentecost when the doors of the kingdom were opened and gave the first gospel sermon. But Peter also made a lot of mistakes in his life. He always wasn't so strong. When Jesus was arrested and taken to trial, what did Peter do? He didn't stand beside his master. He denied him. He not only denied him, when they asked him about him, he said, "I don't even know this guy." He completely denied the Lord. You think about later on in his life, when the church was under persecution and those came up to Antioch telling them about the persecution down in Jerusalem because of Jews associating with Gentiles. And Peter withdrew himself from the Gentiles, almost split the church in two. And Paul rebukes him. Peter was a strong leader, but he also made mistakes, just like we do. Peter was a guy, just like we are. You think about James. He was the older brother, James and John. We don't know much about James, but with John, his younger brother, they were known as the Sons of Thunder. Because at one time, one of the cities didn't let Jesus come in, and they said, "Let's just call down thunder and lightning, and let's just destroy this place." And Jesus called them the Sons of Thunder, but later on, John would be called the Apostle of Love. You see the transformation that came about in his life. James and John, they were just like us. Think about Andrew. You know how Andrew is normally referred to in the New Testament? He's referred to over and over again as the brother of Peter. How would you like to be known as someone's brother? That's how Andrew was called. He was always the brother of Peter. But Andrew was always there throughout the Scriptures when a number of the apostles were named. Andrew's always there. He's always faithful. He's fulfilling his role in the kingdom. What do you think about Philip? You may not have heard much about Philip. Philip was one of the very first apostles that Jesus calls back in John. One of the very first. He spends a day with Jesus and Jesus calls. But then later on we read about the other apostles and Philip doesn't seem to be there. He seems to have not quite found his way. Later on we see him again when Jesus feeds the 5,000. But when Jesus talks to Philip, Philip doesn't seem to quite know what to say to Jesus. Later on, a few weeks back, at the end of Jesus, we looked at a few weeks back, at the end of Jesus' ministry, a few Greeks come to see Jesus, and they go to Philip. And Philip doesn't seem to know what to do with them. So Philip goes to Andrew, and Andrew and Philip go to Jesus. Philip always seems to not quite know what to say or to do, like a lot of us sometimes, isn't it? But Philip is always there. He was there in the Last Supper when Jesus turns to his apostles. There's Philip. Just like us. Think about Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. Now, we don't think about tax collectors being all that bad. We probably don't much like them. But in the days of Jesus, the tax collectors, they were in association with the Romans. They were hated among the people. They were outcasts, isolated from all the people. But Jesus chose a tax collector to take his message out to other people. See, these men, they were just like us. Some of them had their strengths here, and some of them, they had their weaknesses there. But they all depended upon Jesus, and you can see their lives changing because of their association with Jesus. Jesus can change us if we allow Him to, if we give our lives to Him, if we seek the things of His kingdom instead of the things of this world. Think about your life today, and how does it fit in with the Lord? Can the Lord use you? He could use these 12 men, and He can use us in the same way today. In John chapter 14 that we looked at a few weeks back, Jesus says, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments, and I will be in you, and you will be in Me. I will be with you," is what Jesus is saying. That same promise is to us today. Our Savior's with us. He says, "I will give you the Holy Spirit." We are the very temple of the Holy Spirit today, as we read about in Corinthians last week. Our bodies are the very temple of the Holy Spirit. We've been given His Spirit. We have the Lord with us. He has not left us alone. He is there with us today. And the same power that He gave the apostles, He has given to us. Look over to Romans chapter 1. And look, think about the power that He has given to us. In Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about the power that's in the gospel. It says, in the gospel message. And this is where our power lies. Not within us as individuals. We're no greater, the worse than anyone else. But there's no power in us, but the power's in the message. Look over to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, first the Jew and then the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." The power's in the gospel message itself. It's not in necessarily us, but it's been entrusted to us to take this message to the world. Look over to 2 Corinthians, and Paul brings this point out even further, that the power's not in us as individuals. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as His servants, for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Let the light shine out in the darkness,' make His light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. For we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the all-surpassing power is from God, and not from us." What's Paul saying? He's saying this message is in jars of clay. We are not strong. We're just jars of clay. We're weak. The message is the power. And that message He gave to the apostles, He's given it to us. And it strengthens us and shows us how we can live for Him. Do we believe in the risen Savior this morning? Do you really believe in Jesus? Do you love the Lord? Then if you do, then you can give your life over to Him, knowing that He's going to be with you. And that just as these 12 ordinary men were able to take the message of Jesus to the very world, we can too. There's two ways we can go with our lives. We can accept the call of Jesus. And just as Jesus looked down upon the world around Him and had compassion and love for others, He took that message to them. Or we can be like the rich man and see everything and what is in it for me? What can I get? How much money do I need? The rich man passed away, left whatever wealth he did have to others. We can seek our reward and have an eternal reward with the Lord. Today, think about your life. What you're going to do with your life? How are you going to live your life? What are the priorities you're going to put in your life? Who are you going to live for? Are you going to be like Christ and live for Him and His Father and those around us in lives of service? Or we're going to live our lives for ourselves. That's the choice that we have. And you think about what Jesus says and what He does and what He offers to those who are His. He offers an eternal relationship with us. He says, "I will be in you and you will be in Me." Not just for now, but for all eternity He offers that to us. So it's not a reward that passes away, but one that we can have eternally. Think about your life. Are you storing up things for yourself? Or are you storing up riches for your Lord and your Savior for all eternity? That's the choice. And that's the way we need to think about how do we live our lives today. Can the Lord use us? He could use these 12 men. He can use us today. In the same way that He could take 12 ordinary guys and with those 12 ordinary guys create the greatest kingdom the world has ever seen. He can do the same thing with each and every one of us. He can take our lives. He can mold them and make us what we need to be so that we can be entrusted with the same power that He gave to those 12 ordinary men so that we can take that message to our neighbors, to our families, to those around us, and we can have that compassion and love as we love our neighbor as ourselves. This morning, think about your life. Have you given it over to the Lord? Have you truly given your life to Christ for all eternity? If not, why not put Him on in baptism today? As we read last week, when you're baptized into Christ, into His very life, and He's in you, and you are in Him. You can unite yourself with Him. And just as Christ was buried and arose, you too someday will be buried and arise with Him. If you haven't lived your life for Him, why not think about how I'm living my life? Am I truly living my life as Christ lived His? When He looked around and saw those around Him and saw the needs around Him. Do we do that? Or do we look around and think about what's in it for me? Do we really truly live our lives for those around us? If you have need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.